Today, the American Federation of Labor takes pleasure in giving strong, practical support to the United Nations by devoting its America United broadcast to a documentary program prepared by United Nations Radio. It offers this cooperation out of a conviction that all Americans, whether union members or otherwise, should work together for world peace, and that the United Nations, in moving towards this goal, is striving to establish conditions of health, prosperity, freedom, and security for all peoples.
Hello, 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 operator.
I'm sorry, there will be a delay on that call.
What do you mean, delay?
There will be a delay of 2 hours on that call to New York.
Delay? This is impossible. I've got to talk to my son right away. Now, give me the supervisor.
And who is this, please?
This is Mayor Harvey Stone of Maplefield, Ontario, Canada.
United Nations Radio presents the distinguished star of stage and screen, Sir Cedric Hardwicke, in All Your Strength.
All Your Strength. It's a fine phrase. Matter of fact, I've used it fairly frequently in various situations. You know the quotation, of course, Longfellow. All your strength is in your union. All your danger is in discord. Yes, it's a fine thought. I remember once in the town council, right here in Maplefield, at the very height of a row, I rose at the end of the table, waited for complete silence, and quietly said, "Gentlemen, as you argue, I'm reminded of a line from Longfellow. All your strength." By the way, you know Maplefield, don't you? Well, it's a pretty nice little town. Of course, you might say that I'm prejudiced. Lived here since my parents came over from the old country 40 years ago. I remember Elliott Street when it ran straight down to the river. Green fields on either side of it. Well, maybe you'll excuse me if I take a great pride in Maplefield. You see, I'm pretty important here, if I do say so myself. I'm the mayor. Have been for 17 years. That's a long time in a man's life. But I know the people, and I like them. And I like being mayor. But there was a time about 6 months ago when, it began to get me down a bit. I think I was a bit overtired and nervous. Old Doc Masterson kept telling me I should take a rest. Maybe a trip. Well, I guess maybe I became a bit impatient. Irritable sometimes.
Now, I don't want to seem interfering, Mr. Stone, but I think you were a bit hard on old Frank Pope at the council meeting today. Now, old Frank won't easily forget that kind of thing.
I tell you, Fred, the man's a fool. We've got to get these Kincaid Motor people to buy that site down in Green Park, and Frank Pope knows that.
Yes, that's
quite true. That means more to Maplefield than I can tell you. The least we can do is to build that road for them. Every time we want to move ahead, that pompous old windbag...
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Stone. Calm yourself. You never used to let these things get you down. Now, you used to take them in your stride. Now,
maybe he was right. Maybe I used to take them in my stride. But this time, I just got so confounded angry. I've been in this too long, I thought. Maybe I'll take a rest. I'll take a trip. But I'll see this recreation center through before I go. I'll knock some sense into their heads. The council met next morning.
He's honor the mayor.
Thank you, Fred. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
We take up the adjourned discussion for the new recreation center on Cornhill Road. I give the floor to Councillor Lightbody.
Mr. Mayor, I would be less than human if I were not as impressed as all of you with the figures given us at our last meeting by Councillor Hardfoot on the rise of juvenile delinquency in Maplefield. But a proposal has been put before us...
What an unpleasant voice Lightbody has.
...to spend a very considerable sum of money...
I never really noticed it before. The same old, dreary arguments.
Gentlemen, I ask you seriously...
What does he know about kids?
Do you believe that this expensive center can stop the increase of juvenile delinquency? Of course not. These fancy schemes cost money, and money does not grow on trees. Mr. Mayor, I ask for a complete reconsideration of the entire matter.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, I call on Councillor Pope.
I only wish to take a brief moment, Mr. Mayor, to express my support of the very realistic and statesmanlike approach to this problem, which has just been taken by Councillor Lightbody. I think I can say without fear of contradiction...
Pope, get off his soapbox and just remember he's a human being. And a boring one at that. I don't think I can take much more of this.
So I would like to ask the mayor to explain with greater detail, with much greater detail...
That does it.
...exactly how he proposes to finance the project. I ask for an answer.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Stone, sir. Are you all right, sir?
Yes, quite all right, friend. Gentlemen, I must ask your indulgence. I have a personal announcement to make to you this morning of some importance. At least, of some importance to me. After the most careful consideration, I have come to the reluctant conclusion that I shall have to leave the center of your affairs. To be quite plain, gentlemen, I do not propose to run for office at the coming election. And on the advice of my doctor, coupled with other more personal reasons, I should like to leave this office in the very near future. No, Fred, you needn't go on. My mind's made up. That meeting this morning decided me.
Mr. Stone, the party will lose the election. You're the only man who's kept us in power here.
Fred, I just can't take any more of this. Pope goes droning on, and Lightbody hasn't changed an adjective since I became mayor 17 years ago.
18, Mr. Stone. 18 in just a few months. I remember it very well. It was the day before my first daughter was born.
Now, for 18 years, I thought more of the problems of Maplefield than of how to live myself. I want a break, Fred, and I'm going to take it. Maplefield. Do you know, Fred, Maplefield and its problems have filled every hour of the best years of my life? We got that new clinic down at Isle Hill, but Doc Masterson tells me I'm on the road to a nervous breakdown. I'd fight for a recreation center for the kids, and I never even see my own son.
Charlie's a fine boy, Mr. Stone. How's he getting on these days?
I'm going to see him, Fred, when I get to New York. He's working at that UN setup, you know, at Lake Success. Yeah, it'll be nice to see Johnny.
Well, Mr. Stone, I don't seem to be able to persuade you, but I hope we can get you to see things differently after you've had a rest.
No, Fred, I'm quitting. That's that. What's more, I'm leaving town next week. old Thompson, none of the Ulysses Travel Agency, had a grand time mapping out what I ought to go. And Doc Masterson threw in a few suggestions, which he said would be good for my liver. And I'm quite prepared to admit that I was more than a little excited when that fine, crisp morning arrived with a light fall of snow on the ground and I drove down Elliott Street to the station. I never liked leaving familiar things. We passed the War Memorial with its gold wreaths covered by the snow. Pendleton's had a sale on. It's the same old stuff in the windows. I did wish Harry McAlpin would make his men enforce that double parking restriction. I took one last look at the Empress's Hotel's new neon sign that the Historical Society made such a fuss about. We turned the corner and there we were. Yes, I didn't have too much time. Then I saw the station master, Joe Stevenson.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. And a fine day, too, for your takeoff.
Well, Joe, this is nice of you to see me off.
Oh, wait till you see the crowd that's waiting on the platform, Mr. Stone. You just come along with me now.
Crowd? Why? What's all this? Well, I never thought that. There they all were. The whole council, the town hall employees, even old Doc Masterson. And by the time they'd all shaken my hand, well,
I'm not a sentimental man, but I was friendly enough to feel mighty proud. And suddenly there was old Pope, and he was speaking.
I believe it is true that in the past, Mayor Stone and I have not always seen eye to eye on public issues in this town. But I'm happy to speak for all of us here this morning when I wish him bon voyage. And when I present him with this small token of our appreciation and goodwill after his many years of service in Maplefield.
My
dear friends, my dear, dear friend, I find it hard to know what to say. If only Joe Stevenson would have his trains leave on time, I mightn't have gotten away without making a speech. It's not easy for me to leave Maplefield, and now, when the moment has come to go,
Mr. Mayor, I can't hold the train much longer.
Thank you again, all of you, and God bless you.
I'd been in New York once before at a mayor's conference. The main thing I remembered was smoke-filled hotel rooms and long, drawn-out speeches by people who constantly reminded me of Councillor Pope. Johnny took me to the top of Radio City to see the view, and it nearly blew me head off. The crisscrossing of the streets with the taxi cabs looking like well-trained yellow beetles.
Look, Dad, way out there. You see that space way out there? That's LaGuardia Airport.
Oh, yes. Yes, he was a good mayor, too.
And look, Dad, look down there. There's the Queen Mary. She just docked this morning, brought in the French foreign minister.
My word, you're a knowledgeable young man, Johnny. What is it they call it, the UN? An information officer?
That's right, Dad. It's my job to know what goes on.
Over there is the Jersey side of the river with the Palisades Park. We're now 850 feet above sea level. Oh, excuse me, sir.
I beg your pardon. Out of town people, I suppose, hmm?
Yeah, yeah. Look down there, Dad, on the East River. That's our new home, the permanent site.
Oh, the new UN buildings.
Yeah.
Looks like a matchbox with windows to me. When will it be ready? Have they raised the money to pay for it yet?
Yes, Dad, we hope to be moving in from Lake Success at the end of the year. And you're going to come with me tomorrow, the ECOSOC in session.
The what?
The Economic and Social Council, Dad. It's just started its meetings.
Meetings? Not on your life, I'm not. I'm on a holiday. No more council meetings for me for a long, long time. No, sir. I don't want to see agenda or minutes or council light body or anybody.
It was just in the middle of the morning when Johnny and I arrived at Lake Success and went into the UN building. He'd filled my head with this economic and social council stuff. Johnny sat in his little office and talked with the same enthusiasm and fire just as I remembered him 15 years ago when he used to come home and tell me the story of the Western movie he'd just seen with all the gunplay and dialogue.
You see, Dad, this organization of mine...
listen to this. This organization of yours.
Well, its first job is to keep the peace and try to settle the political problems. That's the Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another side to it, Dad, and maybe in the long run just as important a side. To remove the causes of war and insecurity.
Oh, that's a pretty tall order.
Economic causes, social causes. All the things that make people dissatisfied. You know, almost everything that affects your daily life comes to this council in some way or another. Come on, let's walk down and look in on it. They've started their morning session.
Johnny, I tell you, I came here for a rest.
Shh. Down these steps.
But first, may I say, gentlemen...
Let's take these two seats.
Much as I respect your opinions and take pleasure in your voices, time is getting short. And as we have a lot of work to do, well, may I urge you to be wise as well as witty and keep one eye on the clock?
Thank you.
You know, that's very good. Who is that?
That's Mr. Thorne, the president.
I must remember to open one of our meetings with something like that.
I recognize the delegate of Iran.
What's this discussion about?
They're taking up the report of the ILO, the International Labor Organization. You know, they deal with labor problems, conditions and wages and hours of the workers.
The whole training program, as outlined in this report. This year's agreements add another heartening chapter to the whole history of what ILO has done for the working man throughout the world. His wages, his conditions, his rights, and his social security. To return to my point, however, Mr. President, Middle Eastern countries like my own need new industries to put the people to work and bring prosperity.
You know, that reminds me, Johnny, did I tell you that Kincaid Motors might open a plant in Maplefield?
Shh, Dad.
It'll mean employment for about 800 people.
On vocational and technical training. You cannot start new industries without training the workers. Is most important.
But that's just what I kept on telling Lightbody. We have to train the workers for Kincaid.
Dad, you really must not keep talking here and put that cigar away. Come outside and I'll show you the cable center.
Prosperity of areas which have known only one problem.
The walls of the cable room were lined with some green substance to deaden the noise, and there in front of me was a whole battery of cable machines with messages ticking in from every part of the world. Johnny reached forward.
Well, let's see what's coming in, Dad. Here we are. What does this say? From WHO, that's the World Health Organization. Hey, what's this? Read it, Dad.
Typhus epidemic broken out in Japan, informing all centers and arriving ships. No cause for alarm, but stand by for call for vaccine if necessary.
Well, it looks as though they've got that under control at the moment.
But, Johnny, I just didn't know this kind of thing went on. How do these World Health people help?
Well, of course, this is only one side of their work, but they're always standing by to help local committees stop epidemics. They even send doctors and serums.
You remember, Johnny, 10 or 12 years ago when we had that small outbreak of SARS colic fever? Old Doc Marston came along to ask my advice.
But, Dad, you've no idea what this WHO is doing. It has attacked on a world scale almost every major disease.
You might say it's a doctor with a fairly large practice, Johnny.
They're carrying on a colossal campaign in Europe with this new BCG vaccination against tuberculosis.
What did you say, BBC?
No, BCG, Dad. And just a few weeks ago, they were sending iron lungs to Bombay for a polio epidemic. And they're spraying malaria swamps in the Balkans, in Greece, Egypt.
Greece, that reminds me, Johnny. Did I tell you that Nick Theopopoulos just bought the Henderson place to expand his restaurant?
Oh, is that so?
Then Johnny took me in to see that very serious-looking Frenchman who sat with his back to the window with the Long Island countryside behind him.
One of our most difficult and even tragic problems is rehabilitation. By the latest methods which we know, Mr. Stone, 90% of the men, women, and children who have been crippled or maimed in this last war can be transformed into useful citizens with proper training at the right time. No artificial limb need be a serious handicap.
We walked along the corridors with Johnny talking all the time. He showed me documents and charts of the rice crops in the Far East, graphs of coal production in Europe. It seemed to me we'd been walking for miles. Johnny, don't you ever get lost in this place?
Hello, Johnny.
I get around all right.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, nice-looking girl. That, does she work here?
Yeah, she's from Turkey.
As a matter of fact, I notice a lot of foreigners around here.
This is the United Nations. Come along, Dad. It's nearly 3:30, and we're going to that press conference.
And that was one striking memory of the afternoon which comes to my mind every now and then in a quiet moment. It wasn't all that dramatic as it happened, but it's the kind of thing you don't easily forget. We went into a room where a press conference was going on. The furniture was plain and modern, and the walls were covered with charts and maps. There was a nice-looking middle-aged woman sitting at a table in front of a group of newspaper men. Johnny told me she'd just come back from Italy, where she'd been working with the United Nations Children's Emergency Fund.
Well, we work with a mission of about 30 persons, and with the cooperation of the Italian government, we feed children all over Italy, more than 1 million of them.
I see. Mrs. Belden, aside from feeding them, is there anything else that you do for the health needs of these children?
Oh, yes. UNICEF and the World Health Organization have a tremendous anti-TB program. Last year, they vaccinated 8 million children in Europe alone.
Mrs. Belden, the children you take care of, they've had some terrible experiences. Do you ever have any trouble with them?
Well, the kind of trouble I hope you and I will never experience personally. I'm thinking, for example, of one little boy I saw sitting on the floor, cross-legged, with a bowl of soup before him, and he was crying. He was crying hard. I asked him why. He said he couldn't eat his soup because there were some strange reddish-brown things in it. So I looked and saw that what had upset him, what had made him cry, were the pieces of meat in his soup. You see, he'd never seen meat before.
I sat for a moment silent in that room with its charts and its maps, and my mind turned to those slums we were always so worried about down by the river on Cornhill Road, and I thought, in the face of what I've just heard, we in Maplefield could surely do.
Hello, anybody home?
Here I am, Johnny.
Well, it's the first time you've been home before me for over a week. What'd you do today?
I had lunch with a delegate from Pakistan. Most interesting man. Never heard of you.
I just don't know how you do it, Dad. Today it's a delegate from Pakistan. Yesterday it was a soil erosion expert from the FAO. The day before, who was it the day before?
Oh, that was a lady on the Human Rights Commission, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Johnny, I don't think you know as much as you ought to about this Akasak. I think I can say that I've gone pretty thoroughly into it.
Well, don't be silly, Dad. It's my business to know about these things. I'm an information officer at the UN. I know all about Akasak.
Oh, you do you? Where are my notes? Now, look here. In my opinion, we could solve a good part of the problems of this world of ours by the technical assistance program,
Wait a minute, Dad. Don't preach at me. I know all about that stuff. It's my business to know. Sit down, Dad. Stop pacing the floor.
I will not. Now, take this business of the 10 weatherships stretching across the Atlantic. You never told me about that.
Well, you never asked
me. Probably saved the lives of hundreds of plane passengers every year. They were set up by the Civil Aviation Organization of ECOSOC. Did you know that?
Of course I know it.
Well, did you know that the UN Declaration of Human Rights has been adopted by 48 countries?
Oh, Dad, I know the countries by heart.
Are you aware that all legal traffic in narcotics is controlled by United Nations agencies?
Well, I know all that,
and
Dad.
And I suppose you don't find it interesting, yet you can come home and talk for 2 hours about who's going to play third base for the Dodgers this season or some nonsense like that.
And you're the man who left home on a vacation for a good long rest.
Vacation indeed. I want to send a telegram. Hello, operator. Give me Western Union.
What are you going to do, Dad?
Yeah, I'm a man who knows my mind. Western Union? Yeah, I want to send a telegram to Fred Webster. Civic Office, Town Hall, Maplefield, Ontario, Canada. Got that? And the message reads, change my mind. File my nomination papers for mayor returning at once. Signed, Stone.
His Honor the Mayor.
Thank you, friend. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
As I call the meeting to order, I must welcome the new faces, and indeed some of the familiar ones who take their places around this table. We have fought a bitter campaign, but I feel sure that one thought and one thought alone unites us in our work during this term: the prosperity and happiness of the people of Maplefield.
Yeah.
And now to business. And may I just say, gentlemen, that since we have a heavy agenda and since
Brevity is the soul of wit. May I ask you to be wise as well as witty and keep one eye on the clock? I recognize the delegate for... I recognize the medical officer, Dr. Harold Masterson.
Mr. Mayor, before we turn to the agenda, I think I can, on behalf of everyone here, express our pleasure at seeing you back in our midst. It's good to have you with us again, looking so hale and hearty. And now, Mr. Mayor, I want to get back to the inoculation scheme which I spoke of last time we were gathered here. I'm sure, Mr. Mayor, we will want to take advantage of the latest developments of medical science to benefit the health of the children of Maplefield.
Ah, Dr. Masterson, you have brought up a subject to which I have given considerable study recently, particularly in regard to the world at large. You probably do not realize that millions of people of different races all over the world are grappling with problems similar to those which concern us around this table. Science, gentlemen, is aiding in the welfare and safety of mankind around the globe. Why, even as we sit in this council chamber, an aircraft is winging its way across the broad Atlantic Ocean with a precious burden of human life. And that aircraft, gentlemen, is guided safely to its destination by a string of weather ships far below. I tell you, gentlemen, science...
Mr. Mayor, if I may just bring you back to Earth, to remind you that we are considering the inoculation of the grammar school children of Maplefield.
And, Mr. Mayor, I feel that we should also consider the financial obligations of this scheme. Now, Councillor Lightbody and I...
Councillor Pope, surely neither you nor anyone on this council desires to put obstacles in the way of the forward marches of science.
No, Mr. Mayor, I merely want to act realistically from the financial point of view.
Then I think we can take it, Dr. Masterson, that Maplefield will have its inoculations. But Maplefield, my friends, is not an end in itself. Great forces are at work in the world today. We cannot escape our responsibility. Do not let your outlook be limited by Elliott Street and the river. Gentlemen, we are citizens of Maplefield and at the same time citizens of the world. Let me remind you, gentlemen, in the seldom quoted words of Longfellow, all your strength is in your union, all your danger is in discord. Thank you. And now let us turn to the next item on the agenda. Councillor Lightbody.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to raise again some questions to which I feel I've not yet had satisfactory answers. I am a man who likes to get things straight. I'm a plain man, Mr. Mayor.
Look here, you don't want to have to listen to Councillor Lightbody, do you? He never says anything new. But lots of new things have happened in Maplefield. We've got the Kincaid Motor People settled in Green Park, and the Recreation Center went through. The town's really been humming. By the way, if you're ever around this part of the world, look me up. Maplefield's a good place to start up a business if you have a mind to. Look me up. Mayor Harvey Stone. My office is in the town hall. I'll still be there.
You've been listening to Sir Cedric Hardwick as Mayor Stone in All Your Strength, written and produced by Don Pringle and Gibson Parker and directed by Gibson Parker. The music was written by Alec North and conducted by Norman Cloutier, Associate Director James Harvey. And this program has been presented by the United Nations Department of Public Information through the courtesy of the American Federation of Labor, which gave the United Nations its regular period on America United. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.